I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Andrew McCarthy, and my colleague, Thaddeus McCotter. And we've fallen behind a little bit, so we're catching up with Andy, writing about two matters in Washington that dominate the headlines whenever there's news. One, of course, is former President Donald Trump and his many courtroom appearances over these next months. The other is one courtroom appearance in particular by the son of President Biden, Hunter Biden, in which now infamously the arrangement by the counselor, Mr. Weiss, the U.S. attorney in Maryland, I believe, the arrangement did not hold before a judge who asked a few simple questions about what was intended in what appeared to be a light rap on the knuckles for Hunter Biden, who was both suspect of having violated gun laws by misstating on his application to possess a firearm, and also by either deliberately or accidentally evading an enormous amount of taxes in 2017 and 2018. Andy, I turn to you because this again requires some attention to what happens in a courtroom when counselors and the client appear before a judge. My reading of what happened is that Mr. Weiss had a very neat little package for Hunter Biden, and he might have done a minimal amount of time incarcerated, but this matter would all be behind us. What happened that day that can be reviewed, Andy?
John, I think what you described is absolutely what happened, which is that a very attractive deal was available to Hunter Biden to dispose of all the gun charges and all of the tax charges he faces by pleading guilty to two misdemeanors, tax misdemeanors, which would have subjected him to a maximum of 2 years in prison. But he had also extracted a promise from the government to recommend a no prison sentence. So this was really an unbelievably generous deal. And it just seems to be a case where the government was prepared to give away the store and the Hunter Biden defense refused to take it because they insisted that they wanted a clear statement that he could not be prosecuted for any known crimes or potential crimes, including those arising out of the investigation of the Biden family business of cashing in on Joe Biden's political influence. Specifically, they wanted a guarantee that he couldn't be charged with foreign agents registration violations and other crimes. I think this was very foolish on his part because the way the special counsel, so-called Weiss, has sabotaged the prosecution, the statute of limitations has run on most of those offenses, and he doesn't actually have any intention of bringing any charges arising out of that scheme. So I just think it was very foolish on the part of Hunter's defense to let the plea bargain agreement explode over Weiss's political reluctance not to acknowledge that it's possible that President Biden and members of his family could be suspects in things like violating foreign agent registration rules, money laundering, bribery, and the like. Since he was never going to bring those charges, to have the deal implode over insistence that they be articulated in a plea agreement is just, to me, baffling.
And now Hunter Biden, through other courtrooms, faces up to 35 years maximum for all of the charges. Thaddeus, you have a question for Andy.
Andy, how does the special counsel defend the indefensible, which is namely allowing those statutes to expire?
I don't think he will defend it, Thaddeus. We saw last week that his superior, Attorney General Garland, when asked questions like the one you just rightly posed, which are the ones that the American people should be demanding answers of, he said that he couldn't discuss it because it's a pending case and he's put Weiss in charge of it. And now I think what will happen is if Weiss deigns to appear on the date that he is supposed to testify before Congress, which I think is upcoming in the next week or two, he will say that because it's an ongoing investigation, he's not in a position to answer any questions about it. So that's the game they'll play.
Yeah, but if I can, Andy, since the statute of limitations has run, they can't investigate those. There's no investigation regarding those potential crimes, is there?
Well, what he'll say is that the statute of limitations hasn't run on everything, which is why those misdemeanor charges were available in July for Hunter Biden to plead guilty to. So just to be clear for our listeners, the statute of limitations on most federal crimes is 5 years. And on the relevant tax crimes like tax evasion, it's 6 years. So at this point, now that we're in September of 2023, everything prior to 2017 from a tax standpoint is gone. And everything prior to 2018 from the standpoint of any other federal crimes is also gone. So when I say that I think Weiss has sabotaged the investigation, already the statute of limitations has run on the most important years, which is 2014, 15, and 16, when the family scheme was to cash in on Biden's political influence while he was vice president. What's left is 2017 and 2018, plausibly, but the statute is fast running on those as well. And the fact of the matter is, from the standpoint of Hunter Biden's defense, even if Joe Biden's a one-term president, he's going to be running the Justice Department, or his administration is, until January of 2025. At that point, the entirety of the Biden family scheme, the statute of limitations on it, will have run, whether you're talking about tax offenses or any other offenses. So for them, for the Biden defense to have been concerned about being prosecuted for those offenses under circumstances where the Biden Justice Department is in complete control of not only their not being prosecuted, but by the time, even if they are out of business after one term, by then everything will have been vanquished, because the statute of limitations will essentially have eaten the case.
Andrew McCarthy, writing at the National Review Online about Hunter Biden as the case goes forward. Judge Norica deserves a great deal of attention in the history of this story, because at that moment, it changed. Everything changed. Also, Andrew McCarthy has a second part coming on the former President Donald Trump's anticipated defense in the allegations of unlawfully retaining presidential records. Thaddeus McConnor, American Greatness. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.